About 10:30 one evening, under a cold, hard gibbous moon, I carried a sackful of wood down into the kettle hole behind the house and built a small fire in a cleared space at the edge of the frozen bog. The steep-sided hollow yawned under the bright moonlight, and the twisted, heavy, dark limbs of the bordering swamp maples curled out over the ice like massive vines. The fire sprang up in a gust, throwing the bare limbs and shrubs into sudden relief. Blueberry bushes hung their sad heads out onto the bog ice. Beech trees up the slopes flung their stiff branches upward in hysterical, frozen frenzy, like a tableau of keening women. The warm, reddish glow of the fire seemed strange, possessing not only a different intensity from the moonlight, but also a different quality of light that enclosed me in a bubble of color afloat in the surrounding silvered sea. I seemed to see with two sets of vision at once, a technicolor scene within a black-and-white movie. I was in Oz, moving through a sleeping Kansas. Testing the ice, I found that it bore my weight without cracking. I took my flashlight and began exploring the perimeter of the bog on my hands and knees. The ice was clear, and in the bright moonlight I observed a surprising number of small organisms, active and alert, just below the surface. There were dozens of daphnia, or water fleas, jerking along in their pedestrian manner. A large black diving beetle, nearly an inch long, floated slowly up from the bottom. A small red water mite scurried along like a purposeful balloon. Most numerous of all were squirming masses of a common thread-like roundworm, reddish in color and about 3 inches long. I recognized them from last spring when they had appeared in the bottom debris of the bog water of my aquarium. Now they had come out at night in winter and lay sprawled across the leaf floor of the bog, wriggling along under the ice. It was an odd sight to see so many cold-blooded, soft-bodied invertebrates moving about briskly on the other side of this glass floor of ice in water that could not have been much above freezing. As I crawled about the bog, I found that my movements were creating downward water pressures that threw up clouds of debris and leaves from the bottom and sent the bog creatures scurrying. I flopped over on my back and lay spread out on the ice, while overhead the moon sliced its way through loamy, soiled clouds like a harrow disk. There was no animal sound at all, no owl, no dog. The breeze still soughed in the pines, but beyond it I heard, or thought I heard, another sound, a fainter, pulsing, insistent sound. Was it the sound of the night surf heard across miles of this iron landscape, or the very vibrations of the earth itself reverberating beneath me on the bog's ice? I got up slowly and returned to the fire, which had died down, sucking all the color back out of the night with it. I scattered the glowing brands out onto the ice, where they hissed and slithered like serpents. Then I turned and climbed back up out of the silver bowl toward the dark outline of the house that lay huge and silent, like some brooding leviathan on the crest of the hill.